Okay, if we take a look at yesterday's Parsha, Parsha's Vayelech, if you notice, it's a fairly short Parsha. So beginning in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yod, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yod, the Torah describes the 612th mitzvah out of 613. Beitza Moshe Osam Leimor Miketz Sheva Shanim B'moed Shnat HaShmita B'chag HaSukos. So at the end of the 7 years on the holiday of Sukkot, which we'll see actually refers to the Sukkot immediately after the Shemitah year, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, maybe even less than a couple of weeks. V'vol chol Yisrael le'ra'ot espanei Hashem alokach b'makom ha'sheyivchar. V'kratz ha'torah tos neged kol Yisrael b'aznein. You should read this Torah. Hakel et ha'am, ha'anoshim v'anoshim v'ataf, v'gerch ha'ashe b'sherecha, l'man yishmu, l'man yilmedu, v'yoreth ha'ashem alokechem, v'shem alatsas, v'zkot v'yatar ha'azos. So you should gather the people, men, women, children, gerim, and everyone should come to hear and to learn and to be yore Hashem b'chulei. Once every 7 years, there's a mitzvah of Hakel, which means that every member of Am Yisrael, male, female, whether it includes what age children will see soon, hopefully, is required to come to, we'll see the Azor, the Beit HaMikdash, and to hear the reading of the Torah. If we had a Beit HaMikdash and we had the proper way of counting, etc., everything was Kedar Kam Bakodesh, then this coming Sukkot would be Hakel. But we'll see why it doesn't actually happen this coming Sukkot, when we're not really having Hakel. But nevertheless, it's certainly an opportunity to talk about the mitzvah of Hakel. So I want to talk about a number of aspects of the mitzvah of Hakel. There's an excellent article, I don't know if this paper is ever translated into English, but in Hebrew it's called Le'or HaHalacha by Rav Zevin, which he goes through a number of the issues regarding Hakel. And I want to talk about them. This is basically a relatively speaking brief shiur, because we're just going to talk about some of the highlights that are involved, and then a little bit about Lamaisa. The mitzvah is to gather all of Bnei Yisrael together. Now, what's the underlying purpose behind gathering all of Bnei Yisrael together once every 7 years? So the Rambam in Hilchos Chagiga, where he discusses the mitzvah of Hakel, says that basically we're going to read for them various portions from the Torah that, what was the word you used? Zrizus? That are Mizareh B'nai Yisrael and the Chazik B'nai Yisrael in terms of being Shomrei Torah Mitzvah. Every seven years we have a big pep rally, part of the term, but to a certain extent you can imagine what it would be like. Everybody is there and they're all gathered together. And we want to give everybody a big, big rally once every 7 years to be Shomer Torah Mitzvah. The Sefer Achinoch adds on a little bit. And he says, basically, he wants to point out how important the Torah is to Am Yisrael. That, imagine that somebody from the outside comes over and says, every single member of the entire nation, everybody has to come together, and what are you going to do with this momentous occasion? And the answer is, we're going to read the Torah. Because that's our lifeline. That's our lifeblood. That's what we're all about. So, as the Rambam seems to emphasize, as the idea of Hakel is to be a push to be even more Shomrei Torah Mitzvot, the Sefer Chinuch seems to be to inculcate within us the idea that Torah is the Ikar, Torah is everything. And if once every 7 years you get together and all you do, the only thing that you have to do is to hear the words of Torah, is a very, very important message, vital message, from Yisrael in terms of that. Now, who has to come? So it's obvious who has to come. It says so. Hakel et ha'anoshim ha'anoshim ataf. This is one of the mitzvot sase shazman grama. That's an exception to the rule. It's clearly mitzvot sase shazman grama. It's once every 7 years. And yet women are clearly obligated because the Torah tells us, Anashim ve'anashim v'taf, all have to get come together. Now, why do we bring the taf? Why do we bring the children? The famous Gemara in Masechet Chagiga, which says that Anashim ba'am l'lumot, Anashim ba'am l'shmoa, v'ataf kidei liten schar l'meviyeya. We bring the children have to come in order to give schar to the people who bring them. It seems like the children themselves don't necessarily gain from this, but the people who bring the children will get schar for bringing them to this event. Now what age children are we talking about? The Ramban, in this Perush on the Chumash, says if you take a look at Pasuk Yud Gimel, which is in front of you, Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Uvneyam asher lo yad'u yishmu v'lamdu liyiras Hashem Elokecha. There's children who, up until now, didn't know, will listen and learn to be Yareach Hashem. So it sounds like we're dealing with children who are dealing with chinuch, give the age of chinuch. But then the Gemara in Chagiga doesn't seem to make so much sense. If you're asking why the children are coming and you're dealing with children who already reached the age of chinuch, the answer is the children are coming in order to be mechanech them. What do you mean you're bringing the children to give schar to the people who bring them? From the Gemara, it sounds like when it says taf, it means what age children have to come?
Younger.
Even younger. You know, even the infants. The infants, the two-week-old, isn't going to really understand what's going on. But it's going to give you, you bring it because it's chai supposed to bring it. So the Ramban is not quite sure. He says, from Pasuk Yud Gimel, it sounds like only children should give it the Gil Chinuch. And yet, from Pasuk Yud Gimel, it sounds like you bring even the smallest of children to come. The Aderet, who, Elio, David, Rabbi Novitz, the Omen, he's known by his Rosh Hashanah, the Aderet, the tremendous son of Chacham, and also Rav Kook's father-in-law, the Aderet says he doesn't understand how it could mean you bring the infant. He says, just imagine you had every infant in Bnei Yisrael there, every crying, screaming infant with their diapers and the dirty diapers and their business. How could you have it? How could it be? So he simply can't imagine it. And yet the Gemara seems to imply that you brought even the smallest of infants there. I don't know, maybe he's one of the Nisan. Maybe all the kids are quiet, or in the Torah. I don't know, but he says it's very hard to imagine bringing even the smallest of infants. One more thing, the Pasuk says that you bring the ger. Anoshim, anoshim v'ataf, v'gercha asher b'sharecha. The question is, what kind of ger are we talking about? There are two basic categories of ger. There's a ger toshav and a ger tzedek. A ger toshav is a non-Jew who has agreed to follow Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach and therefore has a right to live in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have to kick him out. So he's called a ger toshav. A ger tzedek is somebody who obviously, what we call a convert, who accepts, you know, full Shemiyat Torah Mitzvah. So the Ibn Ezra seems to say it's talking about a ger toshav, which means even the non-Jews who have permission to live in Eretz Yisrael have to all come to hear the hakel. But the Medrash implies differently. The Medrash says that the gercha here seems to be a ger tzedek. Yeah.
How can, like the Ibn Ezra, the
ger toshav
be obligated to come if
it's only
7
obligations? Well, first of all, the seven mitzvahs are more than seven. It could include many different mitzvahs. But this would be an additional one.
It's not fair.
No, it's not fair. Once every 7 years, he's got to show up.
No,
he does agree to it.
And when he's well and skilled.
What?
And when it's necessary to start taking the class.
So, I mean, this is one, it would seem that in addition to, the Gemara has a discussion whether it's really 7, whether it's really 8, and then the Gemara has other, Achronim will come along and point out that really there, I think, are some 60-odd mitzvahs that include the Sheva mitzvahs of Noach. So this would be an additional one. The Medrash in the Psikta, I guess. Now, when does this all take place? The Gemara has a whole discussion, but the conclusion clearly is that it takes place on, the Mishnah says, on Motsa'i Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag HaSukkos, after the Shemitah year. The Shemitah year is over. You may not see people trimming their trees in their gardens. The neighbor I thought was very nice. She said, Motsa'i Rosh Hashanah, she gave her little kids scissors and tell them to go outside and they can cut the grass. I thought that was very nice. It's like the Shemitah's over. So that to inculcate in them, maybe Shemitah's over, now you can cut the grass. So she gave them like little kids, she gave them scissors, don't cut the grass. Because she said, they couldn't do it during Shemitah. So anyway, the Shemitah is over, so it would be Amotzei Yom Tov HaRishon. Now, there's a machlokas, Achron, it may even be based on machlokas Rishonim, as to whether Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon, again, the first day of Sukkot is, this year is a Tuesday, right? First day of Sukkot is a Tuesday. Monday night, Tuesday. So is Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon, two possibilities. No, it would be Wednesday, or maybe even Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon, Tuesday night. Was Hakel at night or during the day? So, the Tiferes Yisrael in his Perush on the Mishnah says that he thinks that it was Motzei Yom Tov, like we say Motzei Yom Tov, we mean at night. But the others, the Aderes of Herzog and others felt that now based on different shitas and different languages that it was actually during the day. So it would have been not Tuesday night, not Motzei Yom Tov literally, but the next day, the first day of Chol HaMoed. Now the Yerushalmi tells us that if the first day of Chol HaMoed falls out on a Shabbos, which according to our calendar it can't, now it's a show, but in theory, when they were Mekadosh up here, it could fall out on the Shabbos. When the first day of Yom Tov falls out on the Shabbos, first day of Chol HaMoed falls out on the Shabbos, they would postpone Hakel for a day. They would do it on Sunday, the second day of Chol HaMoed. Why? So a couple of reasons are given. One is because the custom was that on the day of Hakel, they would have people throughout Yerushalayim blowing on the chatzotzros, the trumpets calling people to come. And since you can't blow the chatzotzros on Shabbos, therefore they would postpone Hakel for a day. The second reason given is that the Melech, when he would read from the Torah, would stand or possibly even sit on a beam, on a platform, which was built in the Azara. You cannot build that platform on Shabbos. And they didn't want to build the platform before Yom Tov, Erev Yom Tov. And again, so we're talking about Yom Tov is a Friday, and then the first day of Chol HaMoed is a Shabbos, to postpone it to Sunday, because you can't build the platform on Shabbos, and you didn't want to build the platform Erev Yom Tov, because many, many Jews came into the Azara on Yom Tov with their Kavanos, and the platform took up room, and there wouldn't be enough room for the people. So they didn't want to build it before Yom Tov, they only wanted to build it shortly before the Hakel, and they couldn't build it on Shabbos, so if the first day of Chol HaMoed was on Shabbos, they would postpone it till Sunday. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Achronim whether, in general, Hakel could be postponed. Did it have to take place on the first day of Chol HaMoed, or it could take place any time during Chol HaMoed, or at least any time during the first half of Chol HaMoed, at least maybe the beginning of, just the sooner the better, but it didn't have to be on the first day. In other words, when we postpone it, when it falls out on Shabbos to a Sunday, is that the only time you're allowed to postpone it? Or, it could be, if there are other reasons, you could always postpone it a day or so. We'll see why that may be relevant to what goes on with Manei. Where did the Hakel take place? It took place, according to the Gemara and the Rambam, in the Ezras Nashim of the Anharavites. Not in the Ezras Yisrael, which was more restrictive, and the women generally didn't come into the Ezras Yisrael, and it was also a much smaller area, but it took place in the Ezras Nashim. Now, I don't know whether they discussed it. It seems that, millions of people, literally millions of people fitting into the Ezra. I don't think that the Azara was meant without a Derech Nes to fit all those people. And I'm not sure whether there was allowed to be an overflow crowd for the rest of Har Habayit. Maybe. Maybe the Melech had to be in the Ezus Yisrael, Ezus Nashim, and everybody could come in, and maybe the overflow crowd went into Har Habayit. Possible, I'm not sure. Or the Vedeis, and everybody said it, what? That's always a good question, how they heard. I don't know. But maybe also a bit of an egg. We nowadays would have a microphone question. Can you hear it on the microphone? There's a lot of people on the microphone. Maybe the Derech Neis, whoever's reading the Melech just suddenly had a booming voice. And the voice carried. Maybe he had a megaphone. I don't know. The voice just carried. I mean, you have to realize, you can't have any crying kids. Right? Imagine if the place had to be totally quiet. Is he going to hear it? Somehow or another, they just did. Yeah.
Didn't they build a balcony?
They built a balcony for the Simcha Beis HaShoeva.
The one who woke up.
The women who walk on top.
The Simcha Beis HaShoeva
was also doing Sukkot. So maybe they had a platform for the Melech. Maybe they used the balcony for the women. That doesn't seem like they built a balcony. And although it was already built a Simcha Beis HaShoeva. I don't know, maybe they didn't have a Simcha Beis HaShoeva. Simcha Beis HaShoeva was at night. Maybe they took it down so there was Mr. Melech went during the day.
Then where would the woman go?
No, they would be there. I assume there was...
The Melech is in Nashim.
So I think that they... I don't know. Maybe they had a half and half. Maybe they had a chitza down the middle. They built the men on the right and moved right back. Well, they just somehow or another managed. We don't have a lot of details about the specifics that was carried out, which is very interesting. On the question.
In which case, much have come carried in the
Sanhedrin? No, the Sanhedrin will have to sit and just figure out what to do. Yeah.
No, but the Sanhedrin comes from like all over the country.
So that's what it says. Hakel eskol ha'am. No, so they came beforehand. Like Aliyah Laregel. Well, the women are fussing about Aliyah Laregel.
But
the women had to come. No, so they would come early. Everybody would come. Oh, okay. So now, says, who has to read? You know, we all know the king has to read, because that's what the Mishnah said. But in the Torah, if you take a look at Pasuk Yud Bet, it says, Hakel Adam Anashim Anashim Atav, Hakel Adam Anashim Atav, no, not Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud Aleph, excuse me. It says, Tikra Sa Torah Zo. Read this Torah. So, you know, who's supposed to read? Doesn't say. So some say, because if you go back to Pasuk Zion, Moshe is talking to Yoshua. Then in Pasuk Yud it says Vayitzava Moshe Osam, but some say that Moshe is talking to Yoshua, and Yoshua has the din of the Melech, and therefore, from the fact that Moshe told Yoshua, we learn that the Melech has to read. But what happens when there is no Melech? The nation didn't always have a Melech until Shaul. They didn't have a Melech. So that's a good question. Where did they do Hakel before it would have to be the Mishkan? That would make sense. I didn't think about that. That's even smaller. So where did they all
go? But
they
had before.
They
were all
there. Yes, so... I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there are many places we find that things happen to Derech Neis. You have to do your job, and I couldn't grapple. We'll just fit everybody in and say, oh, no. Well, then there's rules of geometry. But it could be, I don't know, it could be that they, maybe that the Melech, whoever read, had to be there, and everybody else had to be within proximity. Just as close as you could be. But there are a number of Achronim who say that there's no real din in Melech. There's a din, if it's a din in Yoshua, it's the din of the manhig. So when you have a melech, so who is the ultimate manhig of Bnei Yisrael? The melech, so he has to read. If you don't have a melech, so it was the Kohen Gadol, or the head of the Sanhedrin, or somebody else who was considered to be the leader of Israel, who would be the one who's reading. Because the Torah itself doesn't necessarily say it's melech. And if it's talking to Yoshua,
could just mean who's the accepted man.
What would you read? So if you have a Chumash Yefer, you can follow along a little bit. They would start, all the readings would come from Chumash Devarim. They wouldn't read all of Kala Sarah Chumash, not the whole Torah. They would start reading from the beginning of Devarim. This is the way Rashi learns based on the Mishnah. It seems to be the simplest understanding. So they would go from Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, until Shema, which is Perek, Vav, Pasuk, Dalet. And they would read Shema, so they would get through Pasuk Chet. So they would go from Aleph Aleph to Perek, Vav, Pasuk Chet, to Shema. Then they would skip to Vayom Shemoa, which is in Parshat Ekev, Perek, Yud, Aleph, Pasuk, Yud Gimel. And they would read the paragraph of Vayom Shemoa. Then they would skip to Parshas Re'eh, and they would read Aser Taser, which is Perek Yud Dalit Pasuk Chaf Bet, to the end of the probably to the end of the Perek there. Then they would skip to Parshas Kisavo. Well, they won't read everything.
How they figure this out?
The Mishnah, this is the way the Mishnah discusses it.
Where did that all come from?
Okay. How did the Chazal know about it? I don't know, maybe they had a Masorah. And one moment. And they would read in Parshat Kisavo, Perek Chavav Pasuk Yud Bet, continuing with Matze, Kisichalel Aseret Kol Masar Tzvotcha. Then, the way the Mishnah has it, they would skip back to Parshat Shoftim and read the Parsha of Melech. Which is in Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Yud Dalet. And then they would go back to Parshas Kisavo and read the brachos from the klolos, including the whole Tochacha, which is real Musar, until the end of the Tochacha, it was Ivrei HaBris, and that's how they would end up. Which is quite a bit of reading. Mm-hmm. Quite a bit of reading. It would take some time. It wasn't 5 minutes. Although, could it be done in an hour? Yeah, depending on, I don't know how fast they read and whether they were metargim in the middle, which is going to be clear, the Torah surely used 7 minutes to be metargim. Maybe there was, I don't know if there was any targum here, maybe they just read straight. The time of the Chazal used to translate. But I don't know if they did it over here. Because we don't understand the Aramaic targum, so there's no Christian targum. So in any event, this is what was read. There are brachos that were recited. There was a bracha recited beforehand, as one would say before one read the Torah. And then there were 7 brachos that were recited afterwards. Some of them we know from Shmon Esrei, the bracha of Ritzei, the bracha of Modim, then the bracha Atav Rechatanu, that they say on Yom Tov, bracha Hashem HaKadosh Yisrael Vazmanim. Then there would be one special bracha that would be said about the Beis HaMikdash, another bracha about Am Yisrael, another bracha about the Kohanim, and then a general bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Shameh Tfilah. Now, this is very, very briefly what Hakel was about. It was probably a most amazing event to be at. Can you imagine everybody being there? It must have left a tremendously deep impression on people. Sometime in the 1900s, the question came up whether we should renew and create a Zecher LaHakel, have a pretend Hakel, a commemoration of Hakel. There is no chiyuv of Hakel this Zmanenu. There's no absolute chiyuv for a number of reasons given. Some say you need all of Bnei Yisrael, some Shemitah, it may depend on Shemitah, and Shemitah B'Zman HaZeh is only in the Rabbanon, and not in the Doraita. Some say you need a Melech, not everybody believes that, some say you can have a Manik, but some say you need the Beis HaMikdash. You need the Beis HaMikdash, which we don't have. Some say because somebody whose tummy was actually Potter from Hakel. And since we're all the Ches Katzmeyim, so in theory we'd all be Potter from coming to Hakel. So there are a number of reasons why there is no chiyuv of Hakel. Nevertheless, the proposal arose primarily in 1946. Herzog, Zatzal, who was the Ashkenazi chief rabbi, suggested of creating a Zecher l'Hakel. The first time I think they wanted to do it in, like the Kosel, was in before 48, and it was suggested again 7 years later. By then you couldn't come in Jordanian hand, so they wanted to do it in Hatzia. And I'm not sure, I think that since then they've had some sort of Zecher l'Hakel, except for 1973, during the Yom Kippur War, so then they didn't have anything then. But they've had some Zecher l'Hakel. There's been a lot of opposition to the Zecher l'Hakel. Chazalish was against it, Shach was against it, supposedly Shlomo Zalman was against it, Rabbi Yoshua Yvonne Lachayim was against it. Why? The question is, why? One thing I saw, according from Rav Shach, he didn't like the fact that they're taking mitzvah from the Torah and turning it into a ceremonia. You know what a ceremonia is? They're turning it into a ceremony. Now, 7 years ago, I was with my family by the Kotel on Chol HaMoed, and all of a sudden, late in the afternoon, I see that the place is just, people keep streaming in. Like, what's going on here? You know, Chol HaMoed, a lot of people come, but it just started getting crowded. And I found out that they were doing the Zecher l'Hakel that day. So I happened to have been there, so I saw some of what was going on. Now, it's very nice to want to do a Zecher l'Hakel, but there is a little bit of a turning it into a ceremony and a little bit of politics, and who exactly is called up to read at which point, and they call up this person and that person, and you know. But they didn't have aliyahs, but they had different people reading the sections, which is not what happened in the Melech or the Manik, one person used to read everything. But they sort of divided it up, and they, you know, this person, I don't remember who it was, but not everybody was really the manik. You know, some were rabbonim, and some were politicians, and some were this, and some were that. So you're taking this amazing mitzvah, and you're turning it to a bit of a ceremony. On the other hand, it really was nice seeing everybody. I mean, it wasn't everybody. There weren't millions of people there. But there was something to be said about Amukha just coming together. It was an interesting thing to see. So I saw somewhere that they're planning to have it, I think, on the second day of Chol HaMoed. Why the second day? Usually because they can have people from Chutz La'aretz, who for them it's Yom Tov, so they're having it on the second day of Chol HaMoed with the Birkas Kohanim in the morning and then this in the afternoon. I don't think it's also to be at the Kota when this takes place. I don't think anybody's saying it's also to be at the Kota. But one has to take the idea of the Zecher l'Hakel with a little bit of a grain of salt. It's you know, different people, I heard like one idea, and then I read, you know, years later, other people came up with some other ideas, and then somehow probably gets hijacked by the bureaucrats and people who are, everybody who has a point to make, and so it may not be the pure spiritual Zecha that it was meant to be. Nevertheless, if you happen to be at the Kotel, I don't think you have to, like, stuff your ears with cotton and not listen to what's going on. But you shouldn't think that this is what it was really like. Because what it was really like was probably on the moon. Yeah.
Do you hear?